You are listening to The Pulse, Rod Murray's e-learning tech podcast, number 145.
Hi, this is Rod Murray. Welcome back to my podcast. You may recognize that as a short clip from Bach's Air on a G-String, nicely done by the Brunswick Duo from the UK. So stay tuned for the full piece at the end of my podcast. This podcast is sponsored by Inside Higher Ed, the online source for news, opinion, and jobs for all of higher education. I also invite you to follow me on Twitter. My handle is RodsPods. As always, I post links to all the things we talk about on my show notes at www.rodspulsepodcast.com. Today, my topic is all about mobile apps for students. I had the pleasure of interviewing Tony Orlando, who's the CEO of Dublabs. In the interest of full disclosure, we've contracted with Dublabs here at University of the Sciences to produce our next mobile app. As they say at Dublabs, unifies student mobility and increases engagement to improve performance and retention. So what do we talk about? We're going to find out what Dublabs does, how are their mobile apps developed, how do you increase student engagement and improve performance and retention, how are they integrated with university systems, what kind of modules are supported, how long does it take to implement a university mobile app, what mobile platforms are supported, and from a technical point of view, how is the app managed? How often do you have to, for example, upload a new app build to the various mobile app stores and iTunes and Google Play? If your school already has a mobile app, but you don't have it well integrated with other systems on campus, I think you would be interested how their system works. So here we go. Here's my interview with Tony Orlando. So Tony, thank you so much for spending some time with me and my audience today.
Completely my pleasure, Rod.
Before we get into some of the nitty-gritty on how what Dublabs is and what it does, how it works, first I have to ask you about your name. I mean, when I hear Tony Orlando, I'm sure you've heard this before. I'm old enough to remember Tony Orlando and Dawn. I don't suppose you're related in any way, are you?
I am not related, although I used to watch Tony Orlando and Dawn every Saturday when I was a kid. So, and I'm sure this podcast, if you associate Tony Orlando with it, you might get some additional downloads. So,
hey, that sounds good. How did you end up with Dublabs? Can you give us a little of your history and how Dublabs started?
Sure. Well, a little bit about myself. When I came out of school, I was actually a programmer. I don't want to date myself and mention what language I coded with, but I was a programmer. I got into big data. That was probably 10 or so years of my career. And then I moved on to the association world, where I was also working in software for another 10 years or so of my career. And then this opportunity at Dublabs came along. And I knew the founder of the company. I just thought it was very interesting. It's a very interesting time in higher ed. It seems what Dublabs does. We're in the mobility space in higher ed, and it just seemed like a perfect with students all having smartphones and higher ed being somewhat of a closed environment. It just seemed like it was the perfect accelerator for this type of technology. And so it drew my interest, and I decided to come on board.
Who's the founder of Dublabs, and how did it get started?
There's a couple folks. Manoj Ramani founded it originally. He had a couple different ideas and his incubator. But Chris Hopkinson, who's our VP of strategy here at Dublabs, he is one of the founding team members. And so actually just dating back to Dublabs, originally in 2008 when the first app store was launched, Dublabs was in the mobile app development business, and so it wasn't specific to higher ed. There was they had a few customers across a couple different verticals, and then in 2008 we made the decision to focus on higher ed, and that was for a couple different decisions, a couple different reasons. The first of which, one of our biggest customers was a large student information system provider, and so we built up an incredible amount of of experience as well as intellectual property in higher ed, doing a pretty deep integration to an SIS system. The second reason was, you know, in order to deliver real value to your users in mobile, and in this case, in higher ed, the end users are students, we just felt you had to go deep. And the way to do that is you really need to get into the integration. So you can either fly at this high level and try and address the needs of many end users across a bunch of different verticals, or you can go very deep into a vertical. And we just felt that the way to create more value would be to go deep into the higher ed vertical.
I'm sure that many of my audience may not have heard of Dell Labs before, and I'll just to give my brief summary. You help institutions develop mobile apps based on universities' systems and services that they offer to students, bringing them to the mobile devices. How would you expand on that? What is your sweet spot? You mentioned certainly integration. What do you integrate?
So if I had to give you an elevator pitch, here's probably what I'd say is I'd build right off of exactly what you said. Dub Labs provides colleges and universities a mobile platform to publish school-branded mobile apps. So that's the first piece of it. What's unique about our platform is that it unifies student mobility by providing native integrations into student information systems, learning management systems, as well as it ties in the campus life information feeds. That's what we do. And probably more important than what we do is why we do it. And the reason why we do this is by providing a school-branded unified mobile channel, we're able to drive higher student engagement. And of course, if you could drive higher student engagement, in turn, you'll be able to improve student success. And of course, if you improve student success, you'll have a higher degree of incident of institutional success. So that's more the why of why we're in the business.
Student retention is certainly important these days, more so than ever. As you probably realize, a lot of schools struggle with keeping their enrollment growing, considering the changing demographics. And certainly, every student has a mobile device these days. I mean, they don't often nowadays carry around the laptop so much as rely on their mobile phones. And they have very good eyes, much better than mine. Are there other, is there another audience for the app? Is it just the students?
We really focus on the students. So you can have prospective students, you know, when they're evaluating different, you know, colleges and universities to go to, they want to see a progressive school. And so downloading their a prospective school's app. So a lot of our schools have a prospective student role within the app. You can have faculty and staff because there's functionality associated with those, as well as alumni. So it addresses the whole life cycle of a student. You know, but just getting back to something that you're saying, stakeholders. I'm not sure if we're gonna have a conversation of who are the stakeholders in making the mobile app decision, because that's a very important one where I think has a big bearing on whether or not a school or an institution is eventually successful with a mobile app.
Can I ask you how many clients you have? And how long have you been in business exactly doing this sort of thing?
So we've been focused on higher ed for the last 4 years, and we have about 150 schools, 150 plus schools and growing. And we focus on community college, technical colleges, 4-year private, 4-year public across the spectrum.
Well, now, give my audience an example of the kind of, do you call them modules or applets within a given mobile app? What are some typical functions that you would find on the app?
We call them modules, but you know, some folks call them menu options. And so, you know, what's a little bit unique about our app is that we do some heavy lifting in our app. So we have what we call integrated features that get the most usage. And these are the features that are integrated with the student information system and the learning management system. And I'll just abbreviate those SIS and LMS from here on out. So some of the things that we do with the integrated features, you know, from a course information, we pull information out of the SIS and LMS to be able to view class schedule, locations, rosters, look at midterm and final grades, get course notifications, get assignments, get discussions, respond to discussions, get class announcements. Again, combination of SIS and LMS. We even take it a step further with the SIS where we do course registration, where you're able to view, search, course catalog, add items to shopping cart, including courses. We honor all the co-requisites and prerequisites, and that's really the way we built the integrations, integrate My Planner, add drop classes, waitlist notifications, holds and taking actions on them. We integrate with the bursar office for looking at bills, paying bills, being able to take action on financial aid. So that's some pretty heavy lifting modules which we put out for the students. And then, of course, you know, we do all the campus life things as well. So whether it's news, events, video feeds, if it's a bus schedule, being able to click into that, being able to click into a computer availability schedule, and then tying into all the social network that a school might have. I'm sure I'm leaving out a couple things. And any of these platforms, they're completely extendable to where you can essentially add in anything that you'd like to be in your app.
I mentioned in the intro that we had a mobile app. It was mostly public-facing content, and it's no secret that we're a Blackboard school. Anybody that listens to me know that we're a Blackboard school, and we've adopted your product now, which we've been very happy with. So for the first time, we're able to integrate some of the other content that we weren't able to integrate before. And just to give you a little anecdote, you know how you have these hallway conversations and, you know, somebody from the dean's office said, you know, would it be neat in our app if new students, when they come to school for the first time and they see their classes and they see that it's in building XYZ, that it would link to a map and so they could see where the building was. And I said, well, gee, we can't do that now, but, you know, we'll look into it. And shortly thereafter, we hooked up with you. And now I see that that's definitely something that we're going to be able to do.
Yeah, and that's definitely one of the basic things that we do. And in fact, they can bring up their class. And, you know, depending on which bookstore you use, you can click a button to buy books. In some situations where it just drops them right into the shopping cart. So it's all about being a productivity tool for the student and engaging the student. So because it does come back to student success, and a big part of that is retention. So there's lots of features like that you're able to do.
I know a lot of my audience are technical. You know, they're folks like me, and so invariably they're going to want to know, you know, how long does this take to implement? How much effort is it on our part? Do we have to become the, you know, iTunes, you know, the iOS developer? Do we have to be the, you know, the Google developer? Certainly we don't have to do the coding because that's why you're here, but what kind of effort is required on the part of the institution?
So working with Dub Labs, we consider ourselves to be a turnkey solution. And what that means, you know, turnkey gets used a lot. So so let me just define it a little bit. So there's actually a couple differentiators that we like to talk about. One is the native integration, which I mentioned earlier, that's deep integration to SIS and LMS without it being Springboard. And so we write that integration. It's off the shelf, and we just have to make some customizations. So what we need from our institutions, we just need information. So in order for us to access the LMS and the SIS, there's information they need to provide us, and there's a little bit of work they need to be able to do to help us connect to it. So when we're doing integrated solutions, it does require a little bit of technical support from the LMS and the SIS side of things. And then from from the Authentically Mobile app that we have, I mean, they are written, you know, specific to iOS and Android and Windows 10. But we take care of all that. If there's some content that an institution wants to put up, we provide them a very simple drag and drop WYSIWYG editor page creator, which takes all the technical heavy lifting out of it. And so we do that. And then, you know, from an implementation perspective, outside of working with the school to do their branding and working with them to make sure they're serving up the right content for their campus life and working with them on the integration, we actually update the app on a quarterly basis. So as there's changes to the operating systems or anything else, we'll push an update to the App Store. And then if there's any changes that we need to make to the middleware that allows the phone to connect to the back-end systems, we take care of that as well. it is very much turnkey. It's individually school branded, so it's not here's this toolkit and go figure it out. So we're working with you every step of the way, and just getting back to your original question. So, you know, we implement our customers in phases. And so with you, you know exactly what happened there. I think we met probably 3 months ago. We decided to work together. And within a month, I think we got your initial app up and running. And now we're moving on to the next phase. We're going to do some deeper integrations. And that's typically the way these implementations unfold.
I was been very pleased how fast we got this going. And one of the best things was, since we already had an app in the iTunes Store and the Google Play Store, it was merely a matter of people getting the typical update all of a sudden, either automatically or they requested an update to their Youth Sciences app. All of a sudden, they got this new improved version. So that was really slick. I really liked the way that that worked.
Good. I'm very happy to hear that.
Speaking of the of course, I mentioned the two main platforms. Anything more to say about that in terms of what platforms are supported? For example, I don't think we have many Windows Phone users, but what do you support in total?
Sure. In total, it's the iPhone and iPad, Android phones and tablets, and then Windows 10 tablets. That's the native code that we have that works on all those devices. Of course, then we have the integration layer. And then we have an app management portal that allows you to configure the app itself.
No more BlackBerry? What's the matter with you?
You know something? It's one of the first things I did when I came in, I saw that in one of our contracts and we struck that out. It's hard to believe, but I guess technology moves at a fast pace. And I haven't had a request for BlackBerry. And quite frankly, I know Windows is always making a comeback and they're going to make a big play. And I've heard that many times.
Right,
and
right.
I'd be perfectly fine with that. But I think the Windows, at least based on our demographic that we're working with, it's less than a percent or two.
You mentioned you push out a new, it's a new build to the stores on a quarterly basis.
Yep.
Yeah, I think the other thing I was pleased with, that's so much there's so much that we can change within the platform that doesn't actually require, you know, a new build. So that was really an attractive thing. We can tweak a lot without, you know, going through the store, and it just automatically, you know, magically appears in everybody's app. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and that's really the power of the app management portal, which essentially there's a code base that gets downloaded to the phone, and as you make changes, this is for your more technical folks, it updates the plist, and so the device knows how to behave based on those changes made. So it doesn't require a push to the app store, which, you know, with Apple, it takes a little bit longer. With Droid, it's less of an issue with Droid. And also, the nice thing is if you ever want to make a change, you can send yourself a private build without going to the store at all in order to test it out. So a lot of flexibility in that management portal, as well as all the analytics that are in there so that you can get immediate feedback on which modules are working well and which ones aren't working as well. So you're able to optimize your app, because, again, it all goes back to student engagement and making sure you have that channel between the institution and the students.
Interesting you mentioned that, because I've been anxious to look at the analytics. I've just been so busy, you know, as you can imagine, a lot of, you know, IT folks are busy over the summer getting ready. I did take part in some student orientations on campus, and we certainly mentioned the app. So I want to go back there and see that we see a little spike in downloads at that point. So I'll have to take a look at that. Well, I think we're almost out of time. I just wanted to give you an opportunity to, is there anything else that's anything new coming down the pike, anything in development that you can tell us about?
Sure. Well, it's we're actually going to be spending a lot of time on notifications. The thing that we've heard from our 150 plus customers, students don't read their email anymore. And so it goes back to what you were saying earlier. Students live on their phone. Even if they have a laptop right next to them, their device is the internet to them, because it's really the laptop that's more limited than the mobile device. They're living on this device. And school leadership, you know, they have challenges. They're trying to help students perform better. 40% of freshmen don't graduate. When you look at retention, 70 plus say it has to do with poor customer service. So there's definitely a disconnect, I think, between the institutions and the students. And so we really see the app as a vital communication link. So in addition to all the functionality I rattled off earlier, push notifications are absolutely key to help in that communication. So the thing that we're working on right now, we're calling it Notifications 2.0. By having these native integrations into the SIS and LMS, we're able to go in there and pull out when grades are posted or when their bill is due and there's a hole or financial aid, and just push it right to the student and pull information out of the LMS as well, as far as announcements and assignments and discussions, and allow them to reply. And so it's all about the student not having to do the work, so that the student can wake up and they could swipe down on a Today widget. It tells them exactly what they need for the day. Or if they go to their dashboard, it organizes all these push notifications that come at the device level. But when you clip into the app, they're able to see all their notifications organized for them. And so that's a big piece of what we're we've actually developed most of it, and now we're going through an update cycle to get that out to everybody, because ultimately we're really looking for the institutions to have a way to engage the students, and push notifications is definitely where it's at these days, and you have to have those native integrations to make it worthwhile.
I'll put in one suggestion.
Sure.
Something I would like to see.
Okay.
Is build an audience response app. We use other products with clickers and everything, but I would love to have one device, one application that students can respond to their instructor in class.
Yep, we're actually looked at. There are some vendors out there that have classroom response, and we're looking at embedding them into our solution versus maybe building it. As you know, resources are somewhat limited. The other big thing that we're doing is we're looking at retention vendors right now. So we've done a great job of integrating with SIS and LMS systems. But if you think about the retention vendors, they're out there doing all these predictive analytics, and they have no channel into the student. And that's problematic. So, they're not able to communicate with the student because they're not reading emails. And so really tying into the retention vendors, I think, is a huge opportunity. And even if that predictive analytics gets to a point where it needs another piece of information, the ability to poll the student, get that piece of information, would be very, very valuable. So the retention vendors, as well as the customer relationship management solutions, is the next area where I see us doing more and more integrations.
That's great. I think you picked a really good niche to be in, and I can only see this growing. So, listen, this has been great. I think you gave a great overview of what DubLabs does. And again, I want to thank you for your time.
Well, I very much appreciate you having me on the show. Thank you.
That's it for my program today. I hope you enjoyed the interview with Tony. Stay tuned for the full piece, Air in a G-String by Bach. Until next time, have a great week.
That's it for today's episode. Thank you very much for listening. Don't forget to give Rod feedback. You can leave comments on his blog or send email to rod@rodspulsepodcast.com. The preceding audio commentary is the product of the author, Dr. Rodney Murray, and does not represent the official viewpoint of the University of the Sciences or any other institution or company.